Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the afternoon show. TK and ESP in for Spike and Fritz today. We're broadcasting live
from all time summer jam right there.
What is that?
It's Cameron and Kanye.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I didn't know it.
First, I thought it was like elevator music or something.
Nah, it's not elevator music.
Well, I didn't realize until like 10 seconds
on.
In.
Yeah, it came on kind of slow.
Mike and I looked at each other. Yeah, like,
What is Fran playing back
there? You gotta wait for it to drop, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, we see now.
Yeah. Good job.
All-time summertime bop right there.
Elliot approved. There you go. We're broadcasting live from the DeBora Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. DeBora Heart and Lung Center, the Delaware Valley's only heart hospital. Phil's on the field taking batting practice right now. And, you know, we talk a lot.
Out there.
Yeah. Do you look good?
Man, yeah. Arms look good. Tattoos, tan.
Nice. Yeah, Casty looks good getting off the bus.
Yeah.
You know,
slow down, Teeks.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know,
this is the show of pause.
Good looking, pause.
Dangerously close.
Slow down, Teeks.
But the Phils a big win last night, and I don't know about you guys. It's the best I felt about the team in a while. Mm-hmm. Just watching them win a game like that. That looked like the team through the first 65. Only scored 3 runs, but wheels was great. Bullpen was great. Big-time defensive plays when you needed them and offense doing what they needed to do. I thought it was just a really well-played game and a good win against a good team last night.
Yeah, certainly a good win against a good team. I don't want to take that away from the boys last night. 3 in a row, definitely needed that. Love for them to come out there and get another one tonight. Because you don't have Sanchez going tomorrow. You got Taiwan Walker going tomorrow.
Your boy. So. You too. Could be here in Taiwan section.
Yeah, somehow, they got thrown on us yesterday,
standing
Elliot.
Standing ovation
some reason,
for Taiwan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am not taking that one.
Support him.
So, yes, I'm not with Taiwan on that. But, yeah, you got Aaron Nola on the mound tonight, so they need to go come back and take care of business tonight. Because here's the thing, TK, and I hate to be that dude, because you know me, I am Johnny Optimistic. I'm a glass half full guy, man. That's the way I rock. And I'm excited about this team, but I'm also apprehensive as far as jumping back in with both feet. Like, here we go.
That's fair.
So I need Knowles to come out tonight, my guy. Take care of business. Win this series. That way I don't have to it lessens what I know is coming tomorrow. Can you imagine losing tonight and then that tomorrow? The type of anger is going to be in this city for the next 2 days. That's why I don't want it. Let Knowles come out here and take care of business. Offense, who's pitching for? Verlander's pitching. Tonight,
is it Verlander?
Right? I think so. Mm. Okay.
That's tough.
Check that out. he's not the same
potential.
He's not the same guy. But listen, for some reason against us, everybody seems to have one of their best nights pitching.
Yeah.
So
it does feel that way.
I won't be ridiculous and ask for 6-7 runs. But give me 5. We can run Verlander early, get to the bullpen a little bit, see if we can score some runs late in the game. I could take a 5-2, 5-3 win tonight.
It is Verlander tonight. Phillies lineup, same as last night, with Bryson Stott hitting 6th, JT Realmuto hitting 7th. I'm not sure if that's the way it was, but everybody else still in the lineup started last night. Another big thing. Talked about on Leading Off yesterday. Brandon Marsh homers again last night.
Needed it.
That's good news, man. They need him coming through offense.
He's been good recently.
One of us had a Marsh home run last night, plus 750. Had to do it. Had to do it.
Look at you.
Had to do it when the odds
are good. Surfside's on you after the show.
Well, you know that.
There you go. Well, I won't be partaking. I'll be engineering
Too
up
bad.
In the booth
Yeah,
tonight.
Too bad. Too bad for you, Teeks.
Yeah, too bad.
But last night Marsh with a big hit. Certainly needed that. Again, we talked about this yesterday. Bottom of the lineup, coming up.
Yep.
Helping out, contributing.
Yeah.
Bryce got the big hit in the extra innings. I think Trey had 2 hits last night, right?
And a big walk. That big walk in the 10th inning to get it to Bryce there.
So you know, I just need him to come back out tonight. Don't throw away last night by having a bad night tonight.
Well, that's what's really, I think, obviously kept this team back the past few months is they've been unable to string together momentum.
Yeah.
They've had good wins, as you mentioned, TK, yesterday. Like, they had big wins against the Marlins. They had the sweep against the Dodgers. Like, there have been moments where we've sat here and gone, yeah, they're back. But feels like it's always been followed up by losing two or three or losing two straight series, losing the first one at home. They got the job done last night. I thought it was an encouraging win. I always think when this team can win without hitting four home runs, it feels like a more sustainable way to win games. So the fact that yesterday they won a low-scoring game, they got it done in extras, I thought it was a good sign to fight for this team, a way they could win in the postseason. But you got to come out tonight and keep the momentum going.
And, hey, Nola's been good. But I just asked this one thing from Aaron Nola.
Yeah.
Keep the ball in the ballpark. All right? Just don't give up a home run
tonight.
You're
getting
tonight.
One. You know he's giving up one. He's giving up one. Just be prepared. Let's hope there's no one on base.
Yordan Alvarez.
It's a solo shot.
Yeah. Just be Yordan Alvarez. Give up a solo shot to Alvarez in the first.
Yeah. Just you know one is coming tonight.
And that could be the allotment. But, Ike, you have your Phillies hat on. I don't think you even need a hat on right now because you're bold and beautiful.
Yeah, but – that's nice. I like that, TK. Go. I was about to go into the hat. Never
did. Look at this compliment coming my way out of nowhere.
TK was doing there. Nice assist, brother. Yes. Thank you, brother. For years, you've heard the Glatt Group on WIP talking about their amazing services. Appreciate the fine compliments from TK, letting me know that I'm bald and beautiful, but not everybody could be so lucky. Now, the Glatt Group, they know so many people that think hair restoration is a one-and-done procedure, but that's not the case. The Glatt Group have restoration treatments to strengthen your hair before you even need a hair transplant, as well as options to maintain your existing hair after a transplant. And their newest option is completely non-invasive. No needles, no pain, no downtime. It's called TED, which stands for transepidermal delivery. Now, it's where the growth factors are delivered directly to the hair follicles, and both men and women are seeing great results from this procedure. What are you waiting for? Give my friends at the Glatt Group a call. Always at the forefront of technology. Call them today, 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com. Again, that number is 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com and tell them Ike Reese sent you.
Back to the phones in a minute here, but 20 minutes to go before cut down coming up at 4 o'clock. Anything you've seen new, Elliot, since
last check? Yeah, so a report from the Inquirer that it seems like James Bradberry will be on the team past 4 o'clock today. Now, doesn't mean he'll be on the roster week one. The 53-man roster they put out at 4 o'clock will change between now and then, but looks like Bradberry is going to survive and be on the initial roster.
How's your roster looking right now? I know you and the other beat writers have your big competition.
Yeah, and that's what I don't even like, because this is what he's really happy about right now.
Well, they all make such a big deal about it on Twitter, and everybody else feels like they're out of the loop. It seems like a fun game to play.
Anyone's welcome to play.
Well, listen, it's great for them. They're out there every day watching the team, so I don't begrudge them for doing that. I'm not about to go through 53 freaking players on this team.
I got the practice squad,
you didn't put a roster together?
Nah.
Surprise! You seem like a roster guy.
I'll tell you what. The funny thing is, earlier in doing this, I was trying to do everything.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Like preseason. I don't know, man.
You're too much of a veteran at the game.
Well, preseason isn't the same anymore. Right. So it doesn't have the same feel. Yeah, I remember. I started back doing this when we were still going up to Lehigh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Andy was still having his full live practices and things of that nature.
I only did 2 years at Lehigh.
Yeah, so.
But it was different, to say the least.
I didn't mind trekking it up there to Lehigh.
Oh, you get night live from Lehigh? There you go. But
I'm down there in the valley with all the swamps and the bugs.
Yeah. So, I mean.
The players probably like it being here, I would think.
Yes, I would imagine. Yes, I would have preferred it here.
Yeah.
Well, once you get down to the 50 through 53rd men on the roster, you know, not the most compelling radio, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think the Bradberry thing obviously is a little surprising. But other than that, I'm not sure if there's any other roster move that – or is there, like, somebody we're hanging on to to see if they're going to make the team or not make the team?
Not really. And honestly, I do think that is an indication of the depth on this team not being great.
I was going to say, look at it as a
– as not, a negative. Because I think most years when we've done this, it's, okay, they have to find a way to keep this guy. They can't cut this guy. How are they going to let this guy go?
Well, some corners – they got some good corners.
Yeah, but they're probably going to keep most of them. I mean, Eli Ricks might go, but outside of that, who a corner are they going to release that would be – devastating. I mean, we would be disappointed that he had a great camp.
No one young.
I mean, think of how many years.
You think Avante's going to make it?
I think Avante's definitely going to make it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of years and this isn't a corner, but Rashid Bailey would have an awesome
training camp, receiver,
and everyone's waiting Dale to see State, if he'll make the team. Yeah. Or running backs. Normally it's a skill position.
PT Cruiser, Paul Turner.
That's the thing. I think it's that they're not those guys at those positions. Like, it's usually a wide receiver or running back, a guy like that who you're thinking they got to keep, and then they usually end up cutting them. but
so receiver. What do you think they're doing at receiver? How many receivers do you think they're keeping?
So obviously, I had them keeping six. One of them is already gone, but AJ Devontae Dotson clearly going to make the team. Johnny Wilson definitely going to make the team. Britton Covey, I think, is 99% going to make the team. He could potentially be a surprise cut, but I think he's going to make the team. So they're at five right there. That's probably it. I mean, they're not. They already cut Paris Campbell. Anaya Smith is going to go on IR. So they'll probably keep five receivers. They'll probably put some on the practice squad. Maybe promote one for the game. And then two tight ends. They're only.
I tell you what. I would have kept Paris Campbell, and I don't know if I would have kept Brent Covey. Brent Covey's a nice kid, and it's a great story that he's here. But, you know, the punt returns, they're nice when you get him. But is he the only one that can return punts?
Well,
I mean, now you got Cooper DeJean here now. You got the kid from Clemson, the running back.
Oh, Shipley, yeah.
Shipley.
Yeah.
Because Covey's not going to give you anything at wide receiver.
So I mostly agree with you on that. I do. But he has had outstanding training camp. Like, he has looked considerably improved. Now, he has to prove it. I agree with you. Week one, I don't want Covey getting seven targets against the Packers. I don't think he'll play.
I don't think he's going to get one target.
Yeah, no, I agree. The punt returner thing is what's interesting. Because you're right. If he's not going to contribute as a receiver, you have to be such a plus in special teams. But he was very good as a punt.
He was good. I'm not going to knock him. Good. I'm not going to knock him for his punt returning.
And I think one thing he's good at, outside of the electric plays, he does make smart decisions. When to fair catch the ball.
He does?
I think so. Do you disagree?
I think he's done a pretty good job of it. Is he a guy that in some ways is hurt by the new kickoff rule and the fact of it being different now where it's easier for guys to do?
Yeah, well, and I don't even think he doesn't return kicks.
It wasn't even a kick return.
Yeah, he doesn't return kicks.
Yeah, I thought he was last year. Okay.
No, so it was Boston Scott last year, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And this year, I think it'll be Kenny and Isaiah Rodgers.
Okay.
You think Isaiah Rodgers?
I think it will be those two, yeah. And it'll be Covey on punt return. But to your point, if they don't think...
Kenny
Gainwell, sorry.
Gainwell,
Kenny,
okay.
Yeah. And I think Shipley could potentially do it. Okay. But I think Kenny Gainwell is... You know,
probably gets those reps.
Got to find something for Kenny to do now.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be getting a ton of snaps this year.
But the tough thing, too, is does Britton Covey make it through waivers? Do you think he'd be claimed by a team? Whereas Paris Campbell doesn't go through waivers.
I don't think he'd be claimed.
I don't think so either, but he was very, very good as a punt returner last year.
All right. Yeah.
But it's a good thing, I guess, about this team that the biggest...
And our special teams was pretty good last year. Shout out to Michael Clay.
They were. Yeah.
So 15 good. Minutes left until final cuts.
Yeah, 15 minutes. It looks like no new news
as of now. Yeah. We'll check back in with Elliot at 4 o'clock. 215-592-9494.
I did that yesterday a couple times.
Yeah, not doesn't roll off the tongue.
Let's get back to the phones. Fabian in Miami. What's up, Fabian?
Hey guys, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Fabian, I like that name, man.
Yeah, hey, I like your opinion too, man. I see you're the only one got your head straight.
Yeah, it's usually how it works around here.
What do you disagree
with?
What
the Eagles are over. I don't understand. You guys sit here and give all these excuses to all these other teams, but when it comes to the Eagles, you sit there and basically take it away from them. Like,
Fabian, what excuses are we giving to other teams? We're looking at the Eagles roster and pointing out holes where, I mean, they have holes. They have a lot of spots on this team where I don't think you can definitively say they're going to be great in this area.
Okay, with this, the way that this team is built, obviously you can clearly see that it's offensive heavy. So with the younger defense, yeah, I get it. But with Patrick Mahomes, when he beat us in the Super Bowl, what was the case? Oh, they won because they had a good offense and the secondary was all young. But they didn't need they didn't need the defense to be great. They just needed them to be okay, not to blow a big lead and for the offense to come and do the job. So that's basically what we're looking at here with the Eagles. And then you guys sit here and you say, oh, well, Saquon, you know, we don't know what he has. Saquon, they basically had him running the Wildcat in New York. Like, they had, like, he was by himself. Then you got Kellen Moore, right? Kellen Moore, he didn't just get fired from the Chargers because he was a bad OC. No, you had Justin Herbert, who can't stay healthy. He's overrated. He had a number one receiver in the first round that just decided he can't catch a ball. And then you have all these injuries. Like, that's why he got fired. And, you know, Harbaugh coming in, you know, he was bringing in his own staff. That's what I'm saying. I just don't understand. Josh Allen, like Ike was saying, this guy leads the league in interceptions every year and turnovers. He loses to the same team in the playoffs, the Chiefs, every year, and yet he's an elite quarterback. But Jalen
Hurts. Fabian, everybody loses to the Chiefs every year.
Well, not Joe Burrow.
We beat the Chiefs last year.
Well, Fabian, hold on. Really,
that's
really,
right. Not Jalen.
Yeah. Jalen beat Patrick Mahomes this year. Here's what I would say, Fabian, because you're right.
Like, we're 1-1, right? Super we're 1-1.
Yeah.
It is somewhere in the middle. What you're saying is true. It's probably not all glass half empty. But I also think the flip side of that is this team was one of the worst teams in the league last year when the season ended. That's where they fell to. And so they have to go back to being a 13-win team, a Super Bowl contender. And I think they are a Super Bowl contender. A lot has to change from last year. I don't think it's one or two simple fixes from last year, right? The coordinators have to be better than last year. I think they will be. We don't know for sure. Jalen has to be way better against the blitz. Like, this team is not, you know, they were not a true contender at the end of last year. So moving them into that category, I don't think it's crazy to ask to see things change.
And I agree with that, Elliot. But last year week one against the Patriots, I called in and I said, are we sure that was not Nick Sirianni calling plays instead of Brian Johnson? And come to behold, at the end of the season, that's basically what it was. And this year, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have them losing 6 out of 7 games because we got offensive coordinators and a defensive coordinator who know what they're doing. They have experience. They're better than Nick Sirianni. Like, he's a good coach.
I agree with
you know,
that.
He does all the little things, whatever. But these guys know what they're doing, and they're in this position to do exactly that, not to sit there and be overruled by the head coach. No, they're going to be making these decisions in these games. I don't see them losing more than 5 games at most this year.
Fabian, what do you got for what if?
Yeah, what if I kind of pivoted my question. I would say what if the Eagles would have beat Tampa Bay and went on to play Oakland in that Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Mm. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was going to say,
Fabian was on your good side until that.
Well, we got that one out of the way, but yeah, we still got a couple more to get in there. We got the Rams. We got the Panthers.
The Cardinals.
We got actually New England in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
What if the Eagles traded for T.O. a year earlier? Maybe they
would
have won the Super Bowl that year.
What if the Eagles had just kept me?
Yeah.
Yep.
How about that?
Can I get that one out there?
That's what people say.
I was leaving it up to the audience to see if someone would say it. We're getting close to 4 o'clock.
Would 2005 have been different? Is what you're saying?
Yes.
We were talking about it yesterday. As you are going to be, congratulations, by the way, starting your new podcast with T.O. and Donovan.
I was about to say what?
You could have been the mediator that year and kept everything together.
I don't know, man.
You wouldn't have that kind of sway, that kind of power with T.O.?
Listen, I don't know. I think T.O. was a runaway freight train that year, man. I don't know if anybody was stopping him.
I meant to ask you this yesterday. I'm curious. When you were there in 2004, were there any early indications it was going to go that way, or was it shocking to you from Atlanta to see the way it went?
Well, here's the thing. I just know where it originated. You know, he talked about it in his book. Mm-hmm. I do remember the game up in New York where I didn't know at the time what had happened out on the field when he told T.O. to shut the bleep up and get back in the huddle. And T.O. told him he thought he was open on a play or what have you. But I think that's where the friction may have originated.
So you couldn't tell in the locker room?
No, they got into it after the game.
Oh, okay.
So we
saw that.
That was the first time like that it happened. Okay. And, you know, we got a little nervous at the time. Like, oh, Lord, we ain't all the way through the season yet. You know, because, he came here with a reputation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody was aware that he could be volatile at times. And so he hadn't gotten along with his past few quarterbacks, and we didn't want to see that happening here. Donovan had never had to go through anything like that as a quarterback at that time. But he hadn't dealt with a personality like that. So, you know, long story short, I did not envision it getting to where it got to the next year.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles did either.
I thought the offseason could settle down a lot of things. But, you know, T.O.'s one of those people, man, if he feels like – you've crossed him, he's not going to let it go.
Well, especially
he's just not going to let it go.
Right. And especially this kind of organization. Yeah. Like, you figure, because there's, at that time especially, very little dissension. I mean, it was so well run with Joe Banner and
Andy. He hadn't dealt with any of that, yeah.
Right. That was probably shocking to everybody.
Yeah. And those guys probably didn't know how to, you know, we had great leaders in that locker room, and Dalk and Trott and Westbrook and guys like that. Hugh was in the locker room. But when somebody is hell-bent on, you know, getting their way and behaving a certain way, you can't stop a grown man from doing something.
Especially
you know what
when it's about the contract, too.
Yeah,
which
so
adds to it.
And to be honest with you, there were players that felt like he had somewhat of a legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
For what he had basically came back from and sacrificed for us in that Super Bowl. So, you know, I will always feel a certain way towards him because I saw what he gave and put his body on the line. So I certainly appreciated that. But also understand what the foundation, the fabric of the organization was, and I feel like I was a part of that. So you can't come in and just disrupt all of that either. We built something for years here, and so you can't just come in and just try to tear that down.
Well, I personally can't wait to listen to the podcast. So best of luck, guys.
See what T.O. thinks about that.
Yeah, when you guys get together. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Time for a check on our Twitter poll question of the day. Are we overrating the 2024 Eagles? Right now, 68% of the audience say no. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the 94 WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Challenge. Shop the home team at marks-jewelers.com. When we get back, the cut should be in. We'll let you know what the Eagles' 53-man roster looks like and get back to all your calls. Afternoon Show, Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.